The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So good morning again. I'd like to say a few words, beginning with something that's obvious. And then maybe to unpack it and look underneath it a little bit. Look at some of the underlying beliefs we have or some of the behaviors we have. Maybe into what's less obvious. And the obvious part is that it takes energy, it takes a certain amount of effort to practice. To come to the cushion when we really don't feel like it. To listen to a Dharma talk with a certain amount of engagement or read a Dharma book as more than just entertainment, but more as a way to allowing it to touch us. Whether we feel the Dharma talk is excellent or terrible or the book is awful or good, is a way that we can engage with it and allow our heart to be touched and maybe learn something. Or so it takes energy to meditate when we're feeling restless or troubled, and the last thing we want to do is sit down and be quiet, allowing some of these emotions to come up. And to be sure, sometimes it's wise to not sit in the midst of overwhelming experiences. Sometimes it is wise and sometimes it isn't. We each have to find our way with that. But we all have to do the work of this practice, the energy, spend the energy ourselves. Like nobody else can do it for us. Even the Buddha, he of course gave a number of talks in which people had transformative experiences, but many times he also said something, you know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, like, I show you the way, but you have to do the work. But because we have human bodies and minds, we don't have unlimited energy. So part of the practice, the art of practice, is how can we apply, use the energy that we have in a way that is sustainable and balanced, in a way that supports us instead of drains us, or use energy in a way that helps create more energy. I think perhaps many of you are familiar with this analogy of that the Buddha gives of Sona, the lute player. Don't really know what a lute is, but I think it's a stringed instrument, maybe similar to something like a guitar, that kind of general idea. And the Buddha tells Sona that, you know, just like we tune a lute, I'll say the guitar, so that the strings are not too tight, so that they break, or so that they're not too loose, so that there isn't music coming forth. But we tune them to have the right amount of tension in them. And just as with a guitar, you don't just tune it once and then you're finished, you never have to tune it again. And the same way with us, noticing how much energy we're applying is something that we need to continually keep an ear out in some kind of way. Noticing when there's a little bit too much energy and when there's not enough energy, or noticing if the manner in which we're applying energy is sustainable for us. So it's more of an invitation to listen to our bodies, listen to our hearts, listen to our minds, and recognize in each moment what is too tight and too loose, and the manner in which we are paying attention. Is that with more like a sledgehammer, Or is it more like a feather? And recognizing when there might need to be a little bit more and a little bit less. So applying energy towards our bodies, towards our practice, requires that there's some feedback, that there's interest, that we have, that we're putting aside alternatives, and instead that we're staying with our experience and tuning into our experience of experiencing and getting over any ideas that we might have that transformation or lasting personal development can take place without any energy, just sitting down and occasionally bringing our minds to the breath. This has benefit. It absolutely has benefit. But if what we're looking for is some real personal transformation or development, it does require the right amount of energy. So in order for our practice to be sustained, our practice needs to be meaningful for us. It needs to have some level of importance. Because without this meaningfulness, it can run dry. It can feel like it runs into a brick wall. That is, have you noticed that your energy increases when you're doing something that you love or participating in something that's really meaningful to you or something that you're devoted to or that you really care about? There's a lot of people who are volunteering as part of IMC, and for many of them, I haven't talked to all of them, of course, but for many of them, they describe how it's meaningful for them and that it's uplifting and supports their practice, and the energy is there to do some of the work, even when it's not always fun or glamorous. Or maybe it's completely 100% behind the scenes and they don't even get some recognition for it. But because it's meaningful for them and important for them to participate in what we're all creating here together, the energy is there. So you can ask yourself, what is meaningful for you? What depth or kind of happiness would I like to have in my life? What am I devoted to? What's really important to me? With what do I wish to align my life? This, of course, could be a whole Dharma talk on its own. But just to recognize that how much energy we have available is associated, is connected to whether what we're putting our energy towards is meaningful for us. And of course, we have to do things in our lives that maybe don't have direct meaning. Is there a way that we can make them be meaningful? That is, can we fold them into our practice? For me right now, there's a lot of things happening where I'm living. Specifically, there's demolition and a reconstruction of the building I'm living in while I'm there. It's part of a bigger project and that started way before this. And when the sounds make me feel, this constricted, I think, oh yes, this is why I've been doing practice, is to meet things that are difficult without falling into aversion becomes unskillful. But instead, can I meet yet this and with a way that I bring my practice to it? Okay. Can I bring open-heartedness to this? Can I act in a way that is wise and supportive for me and everybody, for the people who own the building and need to take care of it? And as the practice develops, the meaningfulness of what we're doing grows. The meaningfulness of our practice grows. Certainly for me, at the beginning of my meditation practice and studying the Dharma and studying the suttas, my sense of what role it had in my life was really vague and not clear and pretty narrow too. Mostly around, like, how can I feel better? Which is perfectly fine. This is how so many of us first find the Dharma, with some underlying suffering that finds us here. But chances are that as you practice, you're discovering that that meaningfulness or your aspiration or what's important about the practice becomes more clear. And it becomes more important. It becomes about not only finding greater ease and freedom for ourselves, but supporting others, serving others in their freedom, in their finding greater ease and happiness. So it can be really helpful to tap into what is meaningful for us in general, and specifically what is meaningful for us about our practice, about a meditation practice or Dharma practice, Buddhist practice, in whatever way that shows up for you. And to tap into and feel into the role it has into your life, and to connect with it in a warm-hearted way, with this recognition that the meaning or our aspirations may change, evolve, grow. But what is it now? That's something that you can align with. And then this idea of connecting with a certain heartfeltness, with a wholeheartedness, as opposed to only just intellectually, okay, yes, I want to have a little bit more ease meditating, therefore I need to meditate, just something that we know, we cognitively understand. But can there be a way in which you experience, yes, I can see this, that sitting regularly has some momentum that really supports me, not only in my meditation practice, but bleeds out into other areas of my life. So can we connect what's important for us and our practice in a way that has some wholeheartedness or warmheartedness or heartfulness? In some way that's not just the mind. Maybe it's the body also. I'm using this word heart, but we could also use the word body, in which our whole body feels aligned with what's important for us. Maybe we feel it as a certain amount of alignment, that is some uprightness or something. But not only do we need to be aligned with our aspirations and connected with them in a wholehearted or whole being way, not just our minds, but we also need to believe that our aspirations are achievable, in the sense that if we think that, yes, I want to have greater ease and freedom, but we don't think it's possible, we don't think it's possible for us, then we won't be applying the amount of energy than we might. Of course, we'll just be doing it half-heartedly. So it's worthwhile to examine some of our underlying beliefs. Do we think it's even possible for us to achieve, for example, greater freedom, greater ease? I would say it is possible. I know it certainly has been for me. And chances are that you are seeing the effects of a meditation practice or a Dharma practice, and to not lose sight of that, not to lose sight of the changes, the benefits, some of the outcomes that are arising as a consequence of doing a regular practice. And to recognize that whenever we learn anything, whether it's meditation or playing the piano, driving a car, tying our shoelaces, all these things, right? It takes time and it takes a certain amount of consistent energy or effort. And we always start as a beginner. So to investigate some of our underlying beliefs, whether we think it's even possible for us to learn more or to have more settledness in our meditation, for example, or more open-heartedness or more compassion, more love, more ease. And then if we do find that there are some ideas that our capacities are limited or our what's possible for us is limited, just then to bring to mind, well, we've learned many things in our lives. All of us have. Simple things, complicated things. And we can learn this too. So this gets a little bit, it can get a little bit tricky, this idea of aligning with our aspirations or what's important with us. It can get tricky if we have the sense of that there's a goal that I have to achieve. That is, that there's some place else that I'm supposed to be or want to be, and instead I'm here. Implicit in having a goal is a certain amount of dissatisfaction with the way things are. It's just natural. That's how it is. But also often implicit in a goal is this suggestion that measurement. The goal is over there and I'm over here. And whenever there's measurement, there's this, so often this self-view shows up and lands in the middle of the inner critic. I'm not there yet. I haven't reached the goal. But they have. Maybe I can't even do it, but clearly they have. Or I used to be able to do this, but now I can't, or whatever it might be. So also, it's enormously helpful to pay attention to this inner critic, this whenever there's measurement that happens, which implies maybe comparing, then comparing, there's a strong sense of self often, like I'm here and you are there, or I'm here and I used to be there, whichever type of comparing it is, it's always uncomfortable. Excuse me, my voice is getting a little, I don't know what it's doing exactly. So whenever there's goals, there's often this feeling of measurement, which leads to a feeling of comparing, which leads to a feeling of, I'm not good enough, in some kind of way. So the answer is not to never have goals. That's not the answer. It could be one particular way which we could address it, but that leads us to having a very limited life, having a limited view or experience or idea of what's possible for us. Instead, can we, with this idea of goals, can we use it more like a North Star? I think many of us don't have the idea that we expect to get to the North Star, but we use it to guide us. We use it to point the direction in which to go. So the question then can become, here we go again. Yeah, I'm sorry. This sometimes happens to me with my voice. And I have to pause and clear my throat. So instead of this idea of a goal, can we use a North Star? Just this direction of where we want to go. And then the question becomes, what do I need to do next? What is the next step? That's it. Just what's the next tiny little step? As opposed to falling into the idea of, I can't, if the goal is way over there and I can't do it, or whatever it might be. Instead, to use it as something to support us in our practice, as opposed to something that can feed our inner critic and create the conditions for this feeling of insufficiency or self-loathing or whatever it might be. Then maybe I'll end with this, that also to have energy that are aligned is to behave and act with a way that's aligned with our aspirations. In order for us, this energy to support us, we need to believe that our actions have consequences. Of course our actions have consequences, and intellectually we all understand this. But it might be that sometimes we forget, or maybe we don't apply this awareness thoroughly to absolutely everything that's happening. Instead, we might think like, well, it doesn't matter that I'm secretly harboring this hatred towards whatever it might be, whomever it might be. Of course, hatred never leads to anything that's supportive and good. We might feel like just coming to sit just for this one day, this one morning, isn't going to affect our lives. But of course it does. We all know this too, that mindfulness practice, meditation practice builds momentum. And each little step contributes to that momentum. And everything we do contributes to the habits of our lives, and of course our lives are filled with habits, and are a collection of habits, and in some way sitting to meditate or eating well, exercising, all these things that we know are supportive for us, in some way each time we do them, even if it's in a really small way, helps to undermine the inner critic, helps to undermine some of our habits of not taking care of ourselves, potentially. So in order to sustain our energy for our practice, there's a number of different things we can do, including really looking at our underlying beliefs about the difference we can make, what's possible for us, and what's meaningful for us. And if we can align with these things and gain some clarity, then we'll find that there is energy. Maybe it's not the exact amount exactly when we want it, but this is the most beautiful thing to do with our lives, right? Is to apply our energy in a way that is meaningful for us and that makes a difference for us, which of course allows us to make a difference in the whole world and to support others and maybe to heal some of this brokenness that we're seeing in the world. Some of this brokenness that we're feeling in the world. So may our time together, our practice in whatever form it takes, may it be for the benefit of all beings everywhere. All beings without exception, without exception. Thank you.